Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello and Happy New Year. Welcome to the official Broadwasted podcast where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and today we've got a little double talk going on. Sometimes you gotta look out for yourself, but with every breath I take, we're gonna employ the buddy system. Everybody's gotta be somewhere. Now, stay with me. It needs work, but you can always count on me to lead you away from the lost and found. All you have to do is wait. Joining us today are the people I'm nothing without, including Kevin, what you don't know about women, Jaeger.
Oh, that's true. That was the first thing I understood in what you were saying.
Kimberly, our game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Yeah, hi.
And with us today is a guest whose voice you've most likely heard before on his podcast that he hosts, edits, produces, and everything else. Theater People, Broadway Con, and the new Broadway Backstory. Let's give a Broadwasted welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Hi.
Patrick Hines.
Hi. Hello. Oh, my goodness. Hi. I'm so happy to be here.
We're pleased to have you. You can follow Patrick at Patrick Hines. You can follow at Theater People, PPL, and at B-Way Backstory on Twitter and
So Twitter for Broadway Backstory. Oh, my God. There's so many of you guys. And I've had a drink. I can't remember anything. It's at B-Way Backstory. And then on Facebook, it's just Broadway Backstory.
Great.
Yeah.
So let's just get right to it. What are you drinking?
What are you drinking?
What are you drinking?
Oh,
are you drinking?
Before we do that, that was City of Angels.
Yeah, totally. But why?
Yeah. Because I feel like we're never going to really talk about it unless it's alive.
Wait, can I tell you a story that's related to it?
Yeah, yes.
So
it's a math musical, City of Angles.
Oh, my God. That's a great idea. We should write that for schools.
City of Angles.
Quit our podcasting jobs and make $1 million. So my kid, this is a true story. My child, who is now 2.5, when she was like maybe 1.5 years and was like starting to like form words.
Yeah.
She would be like, make no sense. Nothing ever sounded like anything. She'd say dad's kind of. One day out of the clear blue sky, this is a true story, she said the words Randy Graff, just like straight, like clear as day. She said Randy Graff. Well, Randy Graff was in City of Angels, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got the stares of like, how does that relate?
No, I was just trying to understand how a child would know that name. Like
no,
that.
I don't That's know. Incredible. I don't know. I have no idea. And it's not like we talk about Randy Graff in my house all the time. You know, yes. We're gay, but we're not that gay.
I was going to say, you just play Les Mis, like Her Fontaine, over and over and over again.
That's so good. So as you can see, we're drinking, but what are you drinking?
What are we drinking? Oh, we already did that. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
Double talk.
I'm drinking Maker's Mark with a little bit of ginger.
I think we're all drinking
ginger
that.
Ginger
ale. Yeah, totally.
But what cups do you have, guys?
We're all drinking
I'm drinking out of the cat's cup.
Kimberly?
You know, I almost said Spring Awakening because I was looking at Patrick. So I have kinky boots.
Song of Purple Summer. Spring Awakening.
Yeah.
I signed that.
You what?
I signed
you
it when
see
I signed
it. Oh, you
yeah. Yeah. Couldn't see it. Fluent in ASL.
Exactly.
And podcast.
What is this? This is the slap chop? What is this?
Magic bullet.
The magic bullet.
This is a slap chop? No, that's the one where you chop onions by just like pumping.
You guys, you know that the tagline for that is you're going to like my nuts. Do you remember this? That crazy guy.
Oh, his.
That crazy infomercial guy.
What was his name? He got arrested for like beating up a hooker.
Yeah. He got arrested for like beating
the
up
one,
a hooker.
The Oxy?
No, he died of a heart attack on a plane.
Oh, don't do infomercials, guys. But he was like slap chopping like walnuts. He's like, you're going to like my nuts. And that was like the meme or the gif or whatever the kids call it.
He has a
it.
Crazy name.
I don't know. Yeah. Both?
His name is. He's also the ShamWow guy.
ShamWow, that's what it was.
Yeah. His name is.
Wait, he died?
No. He was the one that like he.
Oh, but he took over for the guy who died from the OxyClean.
The OxyClean guy died.
Did he take over for OxyClean?
This is an investigation, you guys.
Yeah. It's really intense. We are doing a infomercial backstory
this
right now.
This is now the mystery show.
So Billy Mays was the OxyClean guy who died of a heart attack on a plane.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
And this guy's name is.
I love that you can see his picture, you can see everything about him, but they won't tell you his name.
Vince Shlomi?
Is that right?
Shlomi.
That doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound right.
But is Google telling you that? Because it's true then.
Offer Shlomi? Hold on.
ShamWow guy.
Tommy Shlomi?
Yeah, are we just saying weird things now? Shlomi Shlomo.
You know Tommy Schlamme directed The West Wing?
Yes.
Okay.
Most of Sorkin's
Offer Schlamme.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Offer Schlamme.
Better known as Vince Offer, Vince Schlamme, the ShamWow guy, is an Israeli-American director, writer, comedian, and infomercial pitchman.
So let's start with what have you seen this week?
What have you seen this week?
What have you seen this week?
What have you seen?
This week.
Patrick, let's start with you. What have you seen lately?
The last thing I saw was Dear Evan Hansen.
Here, it was terrible.
Oh, my God. Why? I mean, how did that even get a transfer? It's funny because I interviewed Michael Park. And so we talked a lot about Michael Park's performance, but we were talking a lot about Ben Platt's performance as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you were saying to me earlier that you were sitting in the front row. I was sitting in the third row. Yeah. And you can see that boy is leaking out of every orifice of his face.
I needed an American Psycho poncho.
Oh, my God. First of all, wait, can we talk about American Psycho for the next 4 hours? Because I love that show so much.
I loved it. I loved it
Kimberly
so
and I were
much.
Not.
Oh, my God. I thought it was perfect.
One of our first episodes, we talked about how I thought it was brilliant.
Brilliant.
So, and I thought everyone else would agree. I talked to them and they're like, we don't like it.
When did you see it during the run?
I saw it like 10 times. No, I'm just kidding. I saw it twice. I saw it during previews and then it ran for like a week or something. So right. I saw it in its first and fifth and final performance. No, I'm joking. But I saw it in previews and then like a week later.
Because Kimberly and I saw it towards the end of the run. And
oh, so like the following week.
Right.
Yeah. So we saw that Friday. Yeah. You saw it on Monday. Exactly. But what was
it's like a difference between a matinee and an evening.
Yeah. You were there in the morning. Right. What was in it? We've heard a lot of different opinions based on when you saw it.
Oh.
During the run. Because apparently when Kevin saw it, it was a lot more serious and more focused on the...
Oh, wait. I thought you said it was more campy when you saw
no,
it.
No, no.
It was more campy when we saw it.
Yeah. I agree that I think it needs to be... Here's the thing. I love the book, even though I think Bret Easton Ellis is an idiot. Mm-hmm. And I loved the movie, even though Christian Bale is an idiot.
Right.
And I loved the show. I loved the show so much. My fear with the show is that it was not going to get the tone. Like, tone is such a dumb, heady word.
It nailed tone.
It nailed it so hard. And, like, Ben Walker doing that weird Elephant Man stuff. And
yeah,
so Alice amazing. Ripley and the ensemble, like, mopping up blood. She was, like, ensemble girl number 5 in the back left corner. I was living for that. And then, like, Jen Damiano. I just loved it. Oh, my God. And Helena, I think is how we've decided
to say her name. Yeah, Helena York.
Helena York, who has
fierce.
Been perfect in two shows and not nominated for either one.
I know.
She was Bullets Over Broadway.
I saw Bullets.
She was
I saw that.
Perfect. Helena York was just so incredible in American Psycho.
Uh-huh.
And I just thought American Psycho was like, you know what? It was actually kind of scary. Like, I actually, like,
that's
that
how
opening
I felt.
Oh, the opening was incredible.
Yeah, totally.
The first 30 seconds were perfect.
Yeah, totally.
And then Kim and I were like,
And then they had Jello on their face, and I was confused.
Do you remember the part where, like, they were doing the Christmas party scene, and they had, like, the two turntables on either? Uh-huh. And you'd see chorus girl Alice Ripley, like, holding a candelabra. And then she was, like, on her knees, wiping the floor. Like, this is Alice Ripley! Like, it was just crazy. The whole show was insane, and I just loved every second of it.
I was really hoping at the end they would be like, and Alice Ripley did it! But she was just...
Yeah, it's a...
believable.
I got to interview Alice Ripley.
Like, that's like the M. Night Shyamalan twist at the end.
Yeah, totally.
It was Alice Ripley the whole time.
I have to admit that before that, I wasn't really like an Alice Ripley fan. I didn't really know much.
Really?
I had seen Next to Normal. I had seen Rocky Horror. But like, I wasn't like of the converted. I am so converted now. Mm-hmm. But I went to interview her in her dressing room.
She won for Next to Normal, yes?
She did,
yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, and she
have
gave literally the world's most insane acceptance
insane
speech. You know when you make a speech that you've been giving to the mirror and like in the mirror,
like
the
her
audience.
Affirmations.
Like, yeah, and it's like the audience is on their feet and they're cheering and she made that speech and it was crickets. It was crazy.
So good.
It was so
that. Well, that
crazy.
Was what all the voters
Watch
were
it.
Like,
yeah.
Was she acting?
Right, totally. So I didn't know anything about her. I knew, like, I had done my research, but I didn't, like, I don't have, like, a relationship to her work.
Yeah.
And I went, and I was waiting outside the stage door, and I'd interviewed Jen Damiano, like, the week before. Uh-huh. So Jen came up and was like, hi, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I'm interviewing Alice Ripley. She's like, why do you look terrified? I'm like, because I am terrified. And then
you were Next to Normal with her, you know.
Yeah, exactly, girl. I don't have to tell you. And Alice Ripley showed up. She was like, I was waiting for the press person, and the press person wasn't there. And I see her walking to the stage door. We're already running late, and I knew I only had her for, like, 25 minutes. And I was like, hi, Alice. And she's like, hi. I was like, I'm here for the podcast interview. And she goes, I just bought you a club soda. And she handed me a can of club soda. She's like, I thought you might get thirsty. And we go up to her dressing room. And she's wearing, like, wraparound sunglasses.
Of course she is.
Not for any reason. Just because it's bright in there. And I'm sitting across from her, and I'm holding my little, like, my little handheld microphone, and it's literally shaking. And, like, my little, I forgot the thing, like, the puff, the...
The windscreen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had had a sock, like, a side, like, taking a sock. Oh, my God, this is so horrifying. And it was, like, going back to me and then pointing it to her and then back to me. And I pointed it to her, and the sock flew off and hit her in the face.
Yes.
At which point I thought I was in for a literal beating. And she literally goes... Are you nervous? And I went, yes, Alice Ripley, I'm really nervous.
She didn't Ripley you apart.
She did not. And she was like, do we need to stand up and, like, shake it out? I was like, can we? And we stood up and shook it out. Yeah, it was intense. That's she was awesome. Very nice. Sorry, that was a really long story.
No, that was actually amazing.
Great. I love every second of that.
So we saw two things this week as a group.
What'd you see?
We went to LaGuardia, the Fame High School.
Fame High.
And we sure did.
And we saw Les Mis, their production of Les Mis.
I'll go get it. It's in my purse. The song, I never remember the name.
That's my favorite song in the whole show.
I love that song.
Yeah. And it's a song I always forget that's in that show, but always is the song that I'm singing after the show.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Whereas I go to the show and forget Eponine exists until she comes onto the stage.
Priscilla Keenan Bolger.
The thing is, like,
how dare you?
I'm, like, watching the show, and then Eponine comes in, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the show with this song.
Yeah, yeah. That's so funny because it's, like,
2 hours in.
I'm older than you guys, and so, like, I remember when I was, like, in theater camp when I was in high school, that was, like, Eponine's song was, like, it was like the Mimi in Rent or, like, the whatever the big girl thing is now. It was, like,
Satisfied, maybe.
Yeah, totally, exactly. Yeah. Or, like, Elle Woods in Legally Blonde, you know, like, that was the role you wanted because it was, like, all the drama in one song.
Do you remember when Joey sang it on Dawson's Creek?
No one. What?
Joey sang
on my own?
On my own on
Come
Dawson's
again.
Creek.
She sang it for real?
It was on an episode, yeah. And, like, Katie Holmes' character,
I've watched
Joey,
most of Dawson's Creek.
Sings on my own.
Clearly not enough.
Wow. Yeah.
It's an episode for sure.
Oh, my God.
It really did
anyway,
happen.
The Thénardier was hilarious.
Yeah.
And I believe Kevin has his bio in front of him.
Yes.
Because...
Oh, I love a good, like...
Oh, just wait.
Not professional bio.
Yeah,
well,
that's
first
my
of all, a lot of them were professional bios. Because, for instance, Gavroche has been on Broadway.
Of course.
Her bio was... Her bio.
And what's
Broadway. Impressionism.
Do you know who the first
regional,
girl to ever
blah, blah,
play Gavroche
blah.
Was?
Tell me.
Are there any guesses?
I don't know.
The first girl
to ever play Gavroche. That's a good guess.
Britney Spears.
Daisy Egan.
Was the first girl to ever play
Gavroche.
Because
that's when she was
Broadway.
On the Broadway backstory. She talks about how she was in
Les Mis. That's right.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Wait, she was Gavroche, not Cosette?
She was. They let her go on one night because all the boys were sick. So she had to go
she
do
covered.
It. Yeah,
well, it was interesting.
And he's way more fun.
Yeah.
Oh, and he dies.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, he
good
dies.
Scene.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So before Kevin reads that, we saw the school version.
Uh-huh.
So it's an hour. Kevin pointed out that it's an hour shorter.
It's a lot shorter. Like every solo.
Why didn't I see
like
the
every solo
felt
has something
feels
cut
longer.
Out.
Really?
Because you're not as engaged with the character stories, so it's really almost like a cabaret
plot song.
Could it be that they're high school kids?
No, I mean yes.
It's also it was so nice to see. Did you guys
and
feel
not
this?
Like
we're giving them the benefit
Rami
of the doubt.
And Karim
Lou? But first of all, the Valjean was amazing. But did you guys feel like a little like, oh good? The scene changes were a little long, and there were some, like, awkward mannerisms that I'm just like, oh, good. Even, like, Fame High School had all these problems.
Yeah. Oh, like, yeah.
It was just
Fame
like,
High School.
Yeah. I definitely felt that. Like, going to a school that, like, when we did, like, Little Shop of Horrors, like, the entire budget was the plant. So we were like, we're all going to just figure out what to do with the rest because that's what we just paid for. So, like, to see it, for me to come to a show like that, I was, just, like, it was very... like heartening to know.
Because yes. Like we did Into the Woods, and I bought my own Rapunzel wig because they literally bought me yarn, and I was like, I'm gonna go get my own.
Yeah. But it was good to know that even like, if we had had like the budget and like the fame highness of their
it's
school,
still high school,
we still would have fallen down the stairs and like things like.
So Kev, read this bio.
Yes,
yeah, I lived for this bio that this Narnia kid, Aaron Greenberg, shout out. It says, Aaron Greenberg is a senior drama major and is also a dashing young Jew from Queens. He enjoys ramen, pretending he's Patti LuPone, and listening to FDR's old fireside chats on the Library of Congress website. Some of his past roles include General Arvide in Guys and Dolls, Caldwell Be Cladwell in Urinetown, and Frosty the Snowman in PS78's third annual Fifth Graders Christmas Jam.
Consider him booked on Theater People.
I know.
We're getting the scoop. We're getting the whole scoop.
It's not even.
Wait.
He hopes,
we're not done yet.
He hopes Mr. Schiffman and the whole cast and crew know that he's loved working on Les Mis more than Gwyneth Paltrow loves attention. He also hopes you enjoy the show.
I also love a good, like, Gwyneth jab from, like, two years ago. Like, let's jab, like, let's give that jab. You know his mom has been talking about Gwyneth and how much she can't stand goop for years.
Like, he just, like, shakes his head at Sliding Doors over and over again.
Girl, like, to him, it's a black and white movie. I have no idea what it is.
I love Sliding Doors.
I did, too. It's also called If Then.
I interviewed Tom Kitt, like, yesterday, two days ago. Yeah. He's a Pulitzer Prize winner. I realized when I was sitting there that I had never met a Pulitzer Prize winner before.
Lynn.
That's true.
But pre-winning, you met him, yes.
Yes. Yeah. That's right. Right. Like, and we, my husband looked this up when we were on a car trip the other day. Next Normal did not win the Tony Award that year. It did not win Best Musical.
No. What do you call it one?
It was Billy Elliot.
I think Duncan Sheik is a genius.
Did Duncan Sheik do?
No, but he did
American Psycho and Spring Awakening.
British Transport.
I think Duncan Sheik is such a, I mean, Spring Awakening is like, I think Spring Awakening and American Psycho are both genius. I think they're genius.
But I find it was Steven Sater's lyrics that drew me more into Spring Awakening because it was poetry.
Yeah, but I think the whole thing about the music of Spring Awakening was the finding the dichotomy of the modern music and
and
the period text. And Duncan, I talked to Duncan the other day. I talked to Duncan, my friend Duncan.
They also have coffee.
Oh my God, can you imagine? So weirdly,
Tim Duncan of the San Antonio Spurs.
Exactly. Duncan Donuts is more like it. Duncan Sheik follows me on Twitter, and I was like, I needed him for our Spring Awakening episode of Broadway Backstory, and I was like, I'm just gonna send him a direct message.
Sorry, I just got really excited that that's
today.
Happening.
When you're listening to this, hopefully you've downloaded both of our podcasts.
I have, for the record, this is the past talking to you. I have not done a minute's worth of work on that episode, so we'll see.
Yeah.
If you need to talk to someone who saw it 5 times when they were 18,
by all means. So Duncan was saying, so I like messaged him. I was like, hey, I'm doing this thing on Spring Awakening. I'd love to talk to you. He's like, great, call me at 4 at this number. I screamed my face off and then just called Duncan Sheik's cell phone. And we had a conversation that it was insane. But he was saying that they toyed with a bunch of different musical styles. And they were saying that, like, at first they tried to write it in the musical style of the time. And it just sounded awful because Duncan's like, that's not the kind of music that I write. Then he was like, we were trying to write it as like a 1950s sort of piece. Mm-hmm. And he's like, that didn't sound authentic. And Duncan was like, I just wanted to write the music that I write and have it go with like the rest of the with the rest of it, and I think the dichotomy of it is so perfect. And I think
that's exactly why it works.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And totally. Carmen Cusack. You know the song "Totally."
No.
Totally Carmen Cusack.
that amazing song "Totally Carmen Cusack." I hated the show the first time I saw it,
what?
And then I downloaded the album because I was kind of in that thing of like, this doesn't work. I don't get it.
A little older because I was 18 when I saw it the first time.
I'm like, I know that should hurt, but it doesn't. I'm just like,
you established that you're older than
me. Yeah, totally.
And
totally.
I am younger than both of them.
I wish
as
it was
well.
Cool enough that it like that I was upset about it, but I'm just so old, it doesn't matter.
Can you pass the ginger ale, Kimberly?
Actually, I'll just take it with like just straight.
Yeah, great.
Can I just take a quick break and talk about how much I love Laura Osnes and what she has meant to my podcast? Like what Laura Osnes has done for me personally has been. I could literally cry about it. Like, Laura Osnes, for literally no reason. So, look, I'm a grandpa, right? Like, so I started Theater People 3 years ago. And so back then, there were literally two podcasts, mine and the excellent, excellent Ensemblist podcast.
Yeah.
Love who,
and it was great. I didn't know about
them. When we did our research before entering this market, if you will, like, the first thing I did, Kimberly and I listened to a couple of episodes of yours.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was you and the Ensemblist. You're the first things that come up on iTunes. Yeah. You search theater or Broadway.
If you search the Ensemblist, it's like, it's Ensemblist theater people. If you search theater people, Ensemble, yeah, we're like then, right next to each other.
Behind the Curtain comes in.
Yeah.
Well, now it's a Broadway Con and...
Oh, yeah. And Broadway Backstory.
Backstory.
But so Laura Osnes, the guy that like improvised the theme music that we used to play, we don't play it anymore, but we used to have this theme music to theater people.
I remember Underneath and
Bradley Behan, he just improvises like great music. He was doing Grease at Dinner Theater with Laura Osnes when she was like, can I take a couple days off and go audition for this reality show?
She told us that story.
It's I know.
A great story.
Bradley was doing the thing with Laura, and Bradley in the beginning was like, hey, do you guys want me to reach out to Laura Osnes and see if she'll do your podcast? And I was like, she will never do this, but sure. And so he emailed her, copied me on the email, and she emailed back within a day and was like, sure, I'd love to. And you guys, when we started Theater People, I had not even any idea what I was doing, like less than no idea. I just like wanted to be in a room with like famous Broadway people. I didn't think anybody would ever listen to it. And so when
we just wanted to get drunk.
Exactly.
We need a socially acceptable reason to get drunk as often as we do.
We were at Glass House, and we're like, what if we recorded this?
Sure, exactly. Yeah, it's a great idea. Yeah. So then Laura said yes, and then I was absolutely terrified because I, you know, she has a very like classical repertoire.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
You know, and that's not my thing. I don't know anything about that stuff. I still don't claim to know much about musical theater or anything. Like I'm a fan of shows, mostly musicals. I do like a lot of plays, but I'm not like a theater aficionado in any way. And so Laura agreed to do it. I've told the story before, but I was sick to my stomach the day of the episode
because of it, or like you ate something funky?
No, because of it. Because I was so scared to interview her.
Yeah, I don't know.
I know, of course. Yeah, good question. Yeah. And I had seen her in Cinderella. No, I don't think Cinderella had happened at that point. I had seen her. I don't even know what I had seen her in.
Bonnie and Clyde or something.
Oh, yeah. Bonnie and Clyde, which I loved so much. I hadn't seen South Pacific. I don't really know it. I hadn't seen Grease. She had done Cinderella. But like, that's the whole thing. Oh, and what was the Anything Sutton Foster one? Yeah. And so But I don't know. I didn't like at the time. I didn't realize that like I could kind of do a little bit of research and show up and have a conversation. I felt like I had to like know and ask intelligent questions about Oscar and Hammerstein and Oscar and Hammerstein.
Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah.
And the Hammerstein Ballroom.
And it was awful. And but then she showed up and it was snowing outside and I was like, she's never going to make it. She got there before we did. She was early. She was like, I left early because it was snow. She was so kind. She was so just like, she just could tell how nervous I was. And she just like put me right at ease. And then like 6 months later, we were asked to like do a live show and we did a lot. And I was like, who am I going to ask? Like, who's the biggest person, whose personal email address I have? I was like, Laura Osnes. And she said yes. And she came and did it. And she was just like, I mean, she's Laura Osnes, you know? And she like this like Lower East Side bar in the basement and did this live show and like people showed up. And I remember saying to her that night, we were only able to book other big talent because of you, because we had your name. Like without you, this wouldn't exist. She's a friend of the podcast and she understands
friend of the show.
Right. And she understands her importance to the show, you know, that like she helped make it possible. Laura has been so important to our show. She's probably been the most important person we've ever been associated with.
Uh-huh.
And she came into our show this summer and it was like crazy and it was so hot and she got mobbed by people.
Sure.
And she was so nice and gracious and like really sweet. And I was just emailing with her today because we're doing a Broadway Con thing for our 100th episode. We're doing our 100th episode live at Broadway Con.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah.
What day? When?
It's on Sunday.
Do you guys have a booth?
We don't, no.
Oh, you should stop by our booth.
You guys have a booth?
We have a full...
What are you going to have at your booth?
Swag, guests, trivia, as well as...
Squiggs is going to stop by, and we're going to do, like, trading cards.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I use the cards in every episode. So we're going to... People can come by and trade cards with me. They can come by and trade cards with Squiggs. And then I'll go to Squiggs' booth.
And we're going
to
interview the fans of the show.
Oh, that's so cool, yes. Yeah.
So
guys.
Actually, so come over. I will,
for sure. Of course. Anyway, Laura Osnes has just been, like... We would not be where we are without her support.
So cheers to Laura.
Here's to Laura.
Cheers to Laura.
Yes, Laura.
Friend of both shows.
Yeah.
Crossover friends of the show.
Crossover friend.
We also saw In Transit.
Yeah, we did.
We did. Have you seen it yet?
Yep.
Kimberly, why don't you start?
First of all, I saw it twice. And the first time I saw it, I did not know I was going to see it that day. I got offered a ticket and I was like, sure, let me go. I know Rick Hip Flores, who is the music director. And
yeah,
I was
full
like,
disclosure, like, we were given tickets to see the show. We don't want to.
Yeah, I work with the, I work with one of the producers. Yeah. I know Rick Hip Flores. And I was just like, great, I have a ticket. I'm just going to go see this. I was just going to sit on my couch and watch Netflix tonight. And it felt like I was sitting on my couch and watching Netflix. It was just like this cute little rom-com. It was like, the quote they're using is very accurate. If Love Actually was a musical in New York City, it would be in transit. I had a great time. Sure.
I think there's a lot to like about the show. I think that, like, Margot Seibert, number one, I think is... Margot Seibert is the person whose time came for her really quickly with Rocky. You know, she was Adrian and Rocky. And she was also in... I'm not going to think of the name of it, but she was in an off-Broadway musical before that called Someone of the Something. I can't think of what it is, but...
I'm not sure, but she was also in the Yorks production of
Tomorrow
Saturday
of the
Night.
River, is what I was thinking. Yes.
Oh, yes. Yes. And she was in Saturday Night at Musicals in Mufti at the York, which is a show I had never seen live and went to see that, and I loved her.
Yeah. Her voice is, like, very deep, and her voice is just incredible. I think the performances are great. I think that
Erin Mackey, I could watch do
Erin Mackey's
anything
amazing
all day.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. Was like the performances were incredible. Like I just the cast had like this like energy that I think really did capture that feeling of like being in New York and being under the subway. It was very kind
totally
of driving.
Yeah,
deep. Yeah, and the a cappella aspect of just like they are New York and they are creating the beat and the sound and all of that stuff.
Yeah. I think the
really
beatbox
resonated.
Guy is always the, I think
who did you see?
I can't remember his name.
Dreads or bald?
Bald.
Bald, you saw Chesney.
Yeah. Why do they alternate?
It's just hard, I
oh,
think.
Is that what it is? Okay.
So one does six shows, one does two, and I think they've switched who does the six and who does the two.
Oh, wow.
And this is the beatboxers?
Yes. Yeah. And so he's sort of the narrator, and what I came away from the end, because the first time I saw Steven, who has dreadlocks, and Chesney is bald. I saw him the second time. They have this moment at the beginning where they're just like, if you are going from point A to point B, you spend, I think it was like a month of your year on the subway in New York City, which we can all relate to is true.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like,
we're like, yeah.
They're like, yeah, we get it. We just did that to get here.
Yeah.
but it was just like, and so by the end, the first time I saw it, because it was very subtle in the beginning of like, well, when you're there, like, where are you?
Yeah.
And then at the end when she's singing, I'm getting there, and I'm just like, wait, is this the end of the show? Why is this ending now? And I'm just like, oh, she's okay with where she is. And then I was like, oh, great. They all read The Power of Now. This is a study on mindfulness and like being,
you know, there is a lot
being
of it
present in the moment. And that's sort of what it was, is it wasn't, which I think a lot of people have to get over, is like, it's not like this is a full arc of a plot. It's like, these are moments in these people's lives.
Yeah, it's very vignettes.
Yes.
So before I say anything,
we
go
only
see
go
in transit. It's so there's so many reasons to see it.
Yeah, they use the set. They use the theater well.
I love Circle in the Square. Yeah,
with the treadmill is the only good way to say
the
beginning.
Yeah,
but the end when they're
Yeah. Loved what I was going to say was that, like, I was engaged so much within the plot that I had an issue with some of the plot, which was the whole, like, gay subplot. I had a hard time with that. I didn't like it. But I think that what that says is that I was engaged in it, you know?
I think that actually is a great point, because I think that was one of the things that bothered me when I saw the show, was the gay storyline. But I think what's exciting about that is that that storyline seemed a little dated.
Well, for me, it felt... Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, of course.
But it felt... It
you're
felt,
the guest. You get
you get a pass.
You're the guest and it's Kevin. Like,
it felt dated, but it also felt like... I want to say that it felt... It didn't feel true, but maybe what I mean is it felt really true and it hurt me, you know? That like...
Interesting.
You know, I don't know. I don't know
well,
which
I think
one
a
it
lot
is.
Is that like... Kevin's saying that it felt a little dated, and I'm like, well, to New York standards, it felt a little dated that one of them was still closeted to just his family. So in my mind, I was like, well, the internet.
Yeah. Well, but it's the whole idea that, like,
you don't get service in the subway, so I understand.
My best friend...
And the whole thing takes place. Well, no, the whole thing does not take place on the subway.
My best friend and co-producer of Theater People, Mike Jensen, loved...
Shout out.
Loved,
cheers to him.
Here's to my... Oh, my
yes,
God.
Yes, actually.
Here's to Mike Jensen. He loved In Transit so much, and I really liked it, but he, like, loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was...
I know a lot of people who loved it.
And so...
At a great
and
time.
Listen, I think there is no better show to see than a show that some people love and some people don't love.
American Psycho.
Exactly. It's one go see that show.
This room is split.
But like, what I'm saying is, I don't mean that show. I mean, in general, like, if there's a show that everyone loves, like Dear Evan Hansen, you're never going to get a ticket. It's probably good. Maybe you won't like it. If there's a show that some people love and some people don't love, you're really going to have an experience in that show.
Oh, absolutely. Like, so for instance, Comet's getting great reviews, but I know people who despised it.
I can't wait to see it.
I'm going in January. And I guess what I bought my tickets to today.
What did you buy tickets to?
Amélie.
Amélie Poulain.
When is that happening?
She loves to crack.
It opens April. the second Monday in April.
Wow.
So
he plans in advance.
I have two words for you guys.
Philippa Sue.
The Orphanage.
The Orphanage.
Do you want to just cry until you die?
Yeah.
Do you want to just cry all of the liquid out of your body?
Or, you know what, really? Spoiler alert. Got me.
Here's
killed
the thing.
Me.
I didn't know about
me
that.
Me neither. Killed me.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, I've seen the show the and I didn't
end.
Know about it.
The very end.
My husband just.
Hamilton.
My husband just reminded me of that the other day, yesterday in the car when we were driving home from wherever we were going or coming from or whatever. I forgot that that happened. I don't have a memory of that.
I have a mini story, Hamilton story for you.
Give it to me.
A Hamilton story?
Did you get engaged and then go see it?
No.
Sorry, that was me.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, my goodness. You're the second person I know. That's a gorgeous ring.
Thank you.
I won the lottery.
Did you really?
My husband won the lottery one day, and I won it the next day.
What?
It was previous. It was when there was only like 300 people.
Oh,
it was,
okay,
like,
okay.
It was before there was like a billion people.
Okay. Yeah, I was about to call bull on that one. But
I know. I don't remember that moment happening. I have a clear memory of it.
Yeah.
But my husband was saying to me in the car when we were listening to Hamilton the other day, he was like, is that her seeing him? Is that her dying?
Well, have you heard that Philippa Sue has a... I forget where it is, but there's a video of her explaining what...
Really?
And every night it's different.
Just did it. I was like...
I know.
One night it's her seeing him. One night it's her seeing the audience and realizing they just told her husband's story. One night it is her seeing all the children in the audience.
Philippa said that?
Yeah.
Well, do you know what it was at the public during
previews?
No,
I think you mean Amélie.
Well, the public during previews... The floor would open and a reflection pool came up. And then you would see them seeing each other in the reflection pool.
Oh, my
like
God.
Like Washington Monument style?
Like the Washington Monument. Yeah. And it was very much them seeing each other in the reflection pool. And the reflection pool was heaven or something of that ilk.
Can I tell you a
Philip and then that was too expensive and they closed it.
Yeah, exactly. So when I was talking to her about – when I had her on the Theater People podcast, she was saying – she was talking about the direction of the show and, you know, how they would get to that point. They would get to the point of, like, getting to the – like, her stepping forward and they would stop. They just, like, didn't rehearse that part. They would, like, do the whole show and then they would stop. Do the whole show, then they would stop. And then she said – I could be making this up. I have to go back and re-listen to the episode, but my memory of her talking about it with me is that
who lives, who dies, who tells your story. So now you're telling the story.
Exactly. Exactly. So this is the story of
record. The backstory.
Right. The backstory. So she said that one day she expected them that it was just going to be done, but that they didn't stop and that Tommy didn't give her any direction. They didn't stop. So she just was like, now we're doing my part. And she like just like stepped forward and then like did her piece. And like everyone just sort of like fell in line around her. And that's how they staged the
awesome.
End. I mean,
that's awesome.
To be in that room.
You guys, I have to say,
thank you, Kimberly.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So what started your podcast life? Like how did Theater People come in? Can you talk about how Theater People came into fruition?
Yeah.
And then how Broadway backstory, like kind of. How you pitch that. And
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny because I'm not, because I am a zillion, I'm not like a tech person. I'm like, ooh, an electric typewriter. That's exciting.
Yeah.
I'm not like tech savvy. I'm not like a person who like gets the newest iPhone, but somehow I discovered podcasts and I loved podcasts. Well, okay. So what happened was a long time ago, like, I guess it would have been 4 years ago or so. I found a podcast.
Isn't it funny how that feels like a long time?
I know
ago?
It does. Because I'm like, thinking about like the apartment I lived in at that time. Like I didn't have a kid. I don't think I was
way
married.
Back
I guess.
In the day.
You know, you live in New York when you gauge your time at what apartment you're in.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what I was uptown.
That's
Yeah, exactly.
My Brooklyn
my
days.
My grandma once said to me, "You're going to remember your life." pre and post bar mitzvah.
I think of my life like pre and post thin. I think I was thin at that time.
Me too. Yeah, and I was talking to Brian about that the other day. And yeah. I was like, when I was really thin back then, he goes, you weren't thin. You were just young. And
I was like, I have to get thin again. I've got a kid. I have to live another 50 years, you guys.
I have to live another 50 years.
Don't. I'll just cry. I'll just start sobbing. I was thinking about the part where she says something about like God gave me what you always wanted. How does it go? The Hamilton Cast girls will kill me.
He always wanted. He gave me more time.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So I guess like 4 years ago, I was listening to podcasts. Back when it was like This American Life.
Yeah.
So there was this amazing podcast called Downstage Center, which I think was at some point was a radio show.
It was on Sirius XM Broadway.
Yeah. So they interviewed all of
that
of
was
the,
me and the drink, not and the podcast.
Howard Sherman is
saying
pissed.
I don't want anymore.
Do you want more?
But it was on Sirius XM Broadway, which my mother was obsessed with. And yes, he would just do like
It was Howard Sherman,
right?
And then it was like Howard Sherman and somebody else. And they interviewed all of the biggest Broadway stars.
Yes.
And it was, I loved it, but it was kind of dry. But I loved it. It didn't matter. It was like, you know, it was.
Because you didn't get to hear those people normally.
Yeah. And so the thing, right. Well, yes, totally. And so what happened was all of a sudden there was no more episodes. And I thought, well, someone's going to it never entered my mind that I would do it. It was like someone who knows how to make radio is going to continue this podcast.
Right.
And then, like, I guess 3 or 4 months down the road, it didn't happen. And I thought, like, I'm kind of entrepreneurial. I'm kind of creative. I want to do this. Like, if no one's going to make this podcast, it should exist. So I'm going to do it.
Absolutely.
And I reached out to this girl that I knew, woman that I knew. Her name is Vanya Arslanian, and she's brilliant. And she was, like, not really a not as much a Broadway theater person, very much a theater person, but not a Broadway theater person.
Sure.
And she was like, yeah, let's do it. Her husband was in film. He had some equipment. She was like, let's make a podcast. So I don't even know. Like, I don't even know. You know, the next step was I was at a party at my friend Daisy Egan's house, and Katie Huffman was there. And Katie Huffman.
That's your first episode, yeah?
Yeah. So Katie Huffman won the Tony Award for The Producers.
What show was that?
It's a little show. It's just no one's really heard of it. It's just very independent.
The Producers was my first Broadway show, and I actually saw it with she was still in the cast.
With Katie?
Yeah.
Was she incredible?
Incredible.
I met her at this party, and I was like, hi, I'm about to do a podcast. Will you be on it? She was like, okay, weirdo, sure.
Was she the last, wasn't she, didn't she work with Fosse too for a bit? Was she
protege? Yeah. So she totally was. And she was in Big Deal, was like her big, like the last Fosse show that she did. Mm-hmm. Katie Huffman is so incredible. She did Big Deal with Fosse. She was, I don't know if she would say that she was his protege, but she was very close with him.
Mm-hmm. Greatest movie musical maybe. All That Jazz.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah. So Katie has this great story about the closing night. I think it was a Big Deal where they did this big musical thing at the end of Act One, and the audience was like on their feet, and the audience literally screamed, "One more time!" And they went back and did the entire last number. Anyway, so we did it, and we didn't have any idea what we were doing. And it sounded awful. Our first 10 episodes are like unlistenably bad. And our first 10 episodes are like Katie Huffman, Annalee Ashford, Laura Ostis, Michael Urie. Like these huge deal stars that would just like don't sound good. Anyway, so that happened. And then we were doing that. We did that for like 2 years as a hobby. And then I like left a job that I was at, and my husband was like, you need to make this your full-time gig. We took theater people weekly from bi-weekly, and for maybe 8 or 9 months, we did that weekly, and we took on a sponsor, which was Today Tix.
Kimber and I love...
Are you as drunk as me?
Yeah, definitely.
My name is hard when you're drunk, I think.
It's really hard.
Kimberly, 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 Kimberly.
He even did it in a triplet.
You guys are
Kimberly,
idiots.
Kimberly, 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 Kimberly,
Kimberly, Kimberly, Kimberly, Kimberly, Kimberly, Kimberly, Kimberly, Kimberly, Kimberly, Kimberly.
I have a great name.
So Kimberly and I saw Puffs, which is the 7 years of Harry Potter, or Harry and Mr. Potter, because I don't say Harry Potter.
It's parody law.
Yeah.
Would Joe take a what's the word? I don't know what I'm even saying. Would Joe... The joke was that her name is J.K. Rowling. They call her Joe.
Joe would probably take a cut, but now she doesn't.
But is she upset about it?
No, it's great. I don't know.
It's so fun. So it's called Puffs or 7 years at a...
Magical School of Magic.
At a Magical School of Magic and All That Followed.
And it's fantastic. And it got extended till March, but Kimberly and I saw it.
It's so good.
It's so good.
Like, if you know Harry Potter or not, it is so much fun. It is all sorts of, like, tongue-in-cheek, inside jokey stuff. But between, like, the... What is it? Like, the third and fourth chapter? They just go, guys, I swear, the headmaster looks a little different this year. Like, it is all little bits like that.
It's so good.
It's so... But it's just,
it's like, really that good?
Yes. It's so much fun. And it takes, like... It is the same 7 years that Harry Potter is there, but it is from the tale of another person who did not know he was a wizard until he went to Hogwarts.
His name is Wayne.
But his name is Wayne, and he's a Hufflepuff from Arizona.
It's so good.
Anyway, I made a game based on it. Do you
want to
play?
But before that...
Oh, but yes.
Patrick.
Yes.
Do you know your house?
What house are you?
You know...
I don't know if that was your...
You guys, okay, so I also make the Broadway Con, the podcast. Mm-hmm. And those people, Mischief Management, do the Leaky Con. So
they are very
Harry Potter. So, yes, I think that I'm Gryffindor.
Brave! Sorry, that's what they say in Pepsi, you can't take Gryffindor.
Because, Gryffindor seems brave. To me like... Gryffindor seems like the cool, nice kids. Hufflepuff seems like the kids that think that they're cool, but they're not. Slytherin is like the evil kids that think that they are not evil. Is there another one?
Slytherin?
No, Ravenclaw.
Sorry, I'm Slytherin.
Oh, Ravenclaw. No! Carmen Cusack!
Interesting.
No,
Ravenclaw like the rich kids.
Really?
Or is Slytherin the rich?
Oh, no. Slytherin are like the bad... They're the bad ones.
Yeah, but I'm one of them.
You're a Slytherin?
Well...
Did you say I moved away from you?
I did. So I've always considered myself a Hufflepuff.
Uh-huh.
And my fiancé recently was just like, no, you're Slytherin. And I was like...
But he's also enemy of the show. So he might be just trying to mess up your
house.
Here's
my dark secret, you guys. Yes. I fear that I am Slytherin.
I think that's what it is. Ooh. So I think, like, I grew up being like, no, I'm so nice.
I'm a Slytherin when I drink vodka, so I don't do that anymore.
No, you can't be Slytherin. No, you are Hufflepuff. You are.
I have a game. Do you want to play?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Okay. I want a sorting hat is what I want.
Listen, I was told to make a sorting hat game, and it was too hard, okay. So I made something harder. Welcome to the 2017 Tri-Wizard Tournament. As you know, we at Broadwarts have teamed up.
Not Broadwarts!
I got too drunk for your show.
No,
you didn't. No. No one has ever.
I ruined it.
We at Broadwarts have teamed up with the Wizards at... Oh, I have Lights of Broadway cards in the middle that I'm drawing from. With the Wizards at Allegiance and Falsettos. To bring the tradition of a Tri-Wizard Tournament to Broadway's most elite wizarding schools. For the past 5 minutes, students from each schools have entered their names into the Tri-Wizard Cup for the chance to represent their school in the tournament. I will now draw the names of the three students who will be in this year's competitors.
Ooh.
Student number one is James Monroe Iglehart.
I would like that. Thank you. Wait, am I allowed to do that?
Yes. Yeah. Student number two is Alan Cumming. Who would like to play for Alan Cumming? Brian.
Brian got it.
Carrie Butler goes to Alan.
Can I trade?
We can trade. I'll be the genie.
Great. So you are now playing as these characters that I have given you.
That's so good.
Can I take a picture of me playing as Carrie Butler?
Of course. Wizards, are you ready for round one?
Yes.
I'll read you the rules. For the first round of the tournament, we wizards find ourselves head-to-head in a battle with a dragon. Students will roll the die that is on my phone, because I don't have a real one, to draw their order.
I love your
accent. Carrie!
Yes.
Will you roll the die?
How do I do it?
Just hit roll it.
I got a one, you guys. I nailed it.
Number one. Brian, you also got one. Kevin, will you roll it?
I will. I'm going to hit.
If you also get one, roll then I just
it.
Choose.
Roll it. I got a five. You how
great.
I
so
feel.
We'll just go Carrie, Alan,
James.
And
James.
Carrie, Alan, James.
Great.
Carrie Allen.
That's
James.
A great name for a child.
Carrie Allen James?
Yeah.
Very
good. It is
good.
Actually a great name. For this round, we find our wizards in a head-to-head battle with a dragon. Please draw a card to determine which dragon you will face. The first competitor is Carrie Butler. Will you draw from the actor card pile? Who do you have?
Of course, Brian Stokes Mitchell.
The baritone dragon.
So your dragon is Brian Stokes Mitchell. He is a slender, almost skeleton-like dragon with crepe-like wings.
Why does nobody ever say that about me?
His flames come in short, erratic bursts from both nostrils.
You're welcome.
I would like you to please describe to me how you would approach this dragon to secure the treasure it is guarding that you need to bring home. And you may draw a card from the show pile to determine which spell you will use to defeat the dragon. Use this card to influence your attack. When you are ready to leave the arena, you must roll the virtual dice to determine the outcome of your challenge. Yes, this is Harry Potter D&D.
Am I the only one who's been drinking?
No, I know. I'm just trying to figure out what's happening. Are we playing like Lights of Broadway Magic?
Okay. No, you're playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Wait, what do I
people.
Do? I roll the dice again?
No. This so you so are battling
okay.
a dragon named Brian Stokes Mitchell.
Yes, I am.
Who is a smaller type dragon. For your attack protocol, you've drawn Cinderella. Your goal is to grab a treasure box from underneath the dragon, Brian Stokes Mitchell, using your attack of Cinderella.
Where does Carrie Butler feature into this?
You are Carrie Butler.
Oh, okay.
So, like, you can transform yourself into a pretty ball gown to distract him or something.
No, what I would do is leave my glass slipper, which Brian Stokes Mitchell would obviously want...
That's true.
Across the stage, and so then I would go, and then I would start singing songs from Ragtime. I don't know what's happening.
You may roll the die, and I'll read you your fate.
You guys, I did nothing, and Carrie Butler died. So great. No, great. So whoa. Great. One of our great leading actresses is dead because of me.
Roll it. You got one. Congratulations. Again. You have survived the yay! Bout with Dragon Brian Stokes Mitchell and successfully retrieved
you did
the
it.
Treasure. Who was going next?
I'll go next.
Brian, great.
I don't know how you survived, but you did it.
Well, I did it with Brian Stokes Mitchell's bone structure of his face. Look at this.
It's pretty chiseled.
It's like a weapon.
Who's your dragon? I'll read you their...
I have the dragon, Michael Park.
Yes!
Michael Park is a large dragon with a penchant for squashing his foe. Little to no real fire, but a constant hot, steamy breath creates a deep fog throughout the arena.
I am Alan Cumming, and I am defeating the dragon Michael Park.
All I want to watch is a fight between Michael Park and Alan Cumming.
So I pull out a wand as Alan Cumming, and I say, Alacumpanius. So I use the company spell, and the company spell creates an orchestra of actors who play songs.
Mostly Raul Esparza.
Oh, it's a revival spell.
It's a revival spell. So it
revival spell.
So it brings strings and trumpets that plays a very...
Harry and dragons.
All I know is that Raul Esparza, Michael Park, and Alan Cumming are fighting for me.
Oh, at any true. Point... that you want to know the outcome, you may roll the die.
So the dragon falls asleep because they're playing a sweet, sweet lullaby and company. And so I go and steal that treasure.
I like that.
And now my roll it is a one. I got a one.
You got another one?
Yeah.
Congratulations. You have survived the bout with dragon Michael Park and successfully retrieved the treasure.
Gosh darn it.
I'm going to lose this.
All right, Kevin, draw dragon.
All right,
James
Monroe, we got this. So I'm pulling from the top of this one.
Mm-hmm.
So my dragon... I'm facing the spicy Cheetah Rivera dragon.
Great. Cheetah Rivera is a small dragon with long wings. Her true power lays in her fire. Her immense breath control allows her to breathe a steady stream of fire for upwards of 2 minutes.
That's my Cheetah.
Truer words were never spoken.
That's my Cheetah.
Did you guys see The Visit?
Yeah, I did.
I mean, we've seen this in action.
She was fire breathing.
And your spell
is? She spoke
is?
A lot of things.
All right, so I'm going to defeat the Cheetah dragon with my Wolf Hall Parts 1 and 2 spell, which is just... to keep going and going and going with the spell until the Cheetah dragon falls asleep.
And will you roll to see how you fare?
I'm rolling it. It says it's rolling. I got a 3.
Congratulations. Ooh. You have survived your first meeting with a dragon. Unfortunately, the treasure chest opened on your way out of the arena and its contents spilled. Please roll again to determine if you are able to retrieve all the contents.
All right. Come on, James.
Just leave Cheetah alone. What's the problem?
I got a 1.
Yes, you were able to retrieve all the contents.
Okay, I retrieved everything.
Wonderful. Are you ready for round 2?
Yes.
The Great Hall has been magically turned into a Broadway theater.
Ooh.
In this challenge, you must perform a one-man or woman show to the whole school. Please draw a show from the cup, so the show pile, and take a minute to prepare your performance. Please describe to me how you would perform that show as a one-person 10-minute presentation, but please only with a 30-second pitch. Once everyone is done, please roll the die twice to determine how many students voted for your piece to win the coveted Wizarding Theater Award, the Trelawney.
Who wants to go first?
I'll go.
Brian, go. So just a quick pitch on how you would do a one-person show.
Hello, I am Alan. Welcome in. I am Alan Cumming, and I am doing the one-person show of Sideshow.
The one musical that actually really requires more than one person.
So imagine magic. Imagine a circus tent where there are twins played by one person.
Which is basically how Alice did it.
Yeah. So imagine Alice in Next to Normal doing Sideshow. It is a deconstructed version of it where each side of the stage represents the different twin. And therefore, when you're on one side of the stage, it really brings out that, you know, the left side of Sideshow. And the other side brings out the right side of Sideshow. So every time it changes, they go from side to side, lighting changes, and all of the candles that are floating above change. And that is how Sideshow, the one-person show, works.
I would maybe see that.
I would totally see that.
Yeah.
Great.
So
I need to roll.
James, oh, right, yes. I'll roll for you. 6 + 3 = 9. So 9 students voted for Brian to win the Trelawney Award. Get it? Because it sounds like Tony.
Kevin.
Yes, I'll go next. So I have the one, I'm James Monroe Iglehart, and I have the of Next to Normal. And so the way that I would make Next to Normal one-person show is obviously James will be playing Diana, and every other character in the show will be in her head and not on stage. So she'll be performing the whole show as if she's just talking to a bunch of people who aren't there. And I think literally he could just do the Alice Ripley track and not do anybody else's stuff, and it would work.
Amazing.
That's my show.
Let's roll the die. 3 + 3 + 1. 4 people have voted for Kevin to win the Trelawney.
So Brian's beating me.
Yo, Kevin, people hated your show.
People didn't like my show.
Yes.
I.e., Carrie Butler, it is your turn to present your one-woman show to the school.
To the school.
Okay, so I have Chicago. I don't know what's happening. All I can say is that my
Carrie
idea...
Carrie Butler, one-woman Chicago.
My idea of the one-woman Chicago is that I think that most people would say that they would watch Cheetah Rivera, like, sleep on stage. So, here's my thing. Cheetah Rivera stands on stage. It's a one-woman production. There's nobody there. She walks out to the dun, 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 and the music stops cold. She stands there and closes her eyes for 90 minutes. And you're watching Cheetah Rivera imagine the show in her brain. After 90 minutes, she opens her eyes. The audience jumps to their feet, gives her a standing ovation, and that show is over.
That's ridiculous.
And let's see. Roll one. 6. Roll 2.
Yep.
5.
11 people voted for him.
People, and Carrie Butler wins the Broadwarts Trelawney Award for the Tri-Wizard Cup. She wins either brownies or chocolate chip cookies from the Broadway Baker.
Oh, my goodness.
I love it.
Can I open these right now?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
So that brings us to the end of our episode.
But I have, like, 4 more hours of things to say.
So let's put quickly. One-word answers. Okay.
Uh-huh.
What is number of hours that goes into an episode for you?
Of which podcast?
Broadway Backstory.
60.
How many of the interviews for each episode are archived that you've done on Theater People that happen to are brand new ones?
It varies per episode, but I would say in general, it's like maybe 30%.
Okay. Of what?
30% are interviews I've already done.
What's your favorite musical of all time?
Tommy.
What is the musical that you saw, like, I need this to be my life?
Catch Me If You Can.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I love that musical so much.
That's a really cool answer.
Yeah.
Two Truth and a Lie.
I could not possibly be doing what I'm doing without the support of my husband.
Lie.
Wait, wait. So I say three things, and right. one of them is no. a lie.
Yes.
Okay. Laura Benanti is my spirit animal. Jerry Mitchell changed my life.
Three. Lie. The lie is Jerry Mitchell changed your life.
Wait, do I have to tell you?
Yeah.
Laura Benanti is not my spirit animal.
Who's your spirit animal?
KLS et al.
Oh!
That's a good one.
That said, Laura Benanti is very, very special to me.
Cool. Kimberly, what's yours?
Truth or lie?
Yeah.
That didn't sound like the words. let's see. I've never seen The Producers. I've been in Bernadette Peters' dressing room, and I've worn Bernadette Peters' shoes.
Wait, what was the first one?
I've never seen The Producers.
I've never been in her dressing room. So the lie is that she's never been in the dressing room.
You're right. So it's I've seen The Producers. I've been in her dressing room.
Kevin.
And I've worn her shoes.
So you've worn her shoes and you've been in her dressing room.
Yeah, that's true.
Kevin.
I've never been in a Rodgers and Hammerstein show. I did Sweeney Todd my senior year. And I didn't have a beard until I was 30.
Beard till 30.
Correct.
Mine are...
I've known
I was once in a production of Full Monty where we actually did the Full Monty with no backlighting on purpose. I grew up 10 minutes away from the Engelman Theater and was involved in their programs. And I have a theater degree from Ithaca College.
Full Monty.
It's the second one. You were totally making that stage.
It's Engelman. That's a lie.
Wait, so you did the Full... So people have seen your Full Monty.
Yes.
With my fiancé, mm-hmm. who still owns the G-string.
My senior year of college at Ithaca College, we did the Full Monty. And the concept was that they're going to do the Full Monty.
And you were cool with that?
Yeah, I was. I was a young theater kid.
He was 22. He didn't care.
I'm eating a bag of chocolate chip cookies. I don't care.
Me too. So don't forget to follow Patrick on at Patrick Hines, at Theater People PPL, and at Broadway Back, B-Way Backstory. Don't forget to check out Theater People on Mondays, Broadway Backstory on Tuesdays, and Broadway Con on Wednesdays, 3 or 4 times out of the month.
We do the best we can, guys.
Yeah, no, totally. So long, farewell, a vita zane, adieu to you, and you.
And you.
And you? But as we end every episode, we raise our glasses and we sing a little bit of
Zoo-doo-wop bump.
Cheers, everyone. Thanks,
what
Patrick.
Thanks for coming.
That's
the end
glasses.
Of those magic changes.
I'm like, I don't know that show. I'm going to need a whole bag of chocolate chip cookies. Oh my God.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.